Hello, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo here, and it's great to be back with you again. It's been a little while since I've done a podcast on the Macintosh, but I've actually been wanting to do this for a while, do a fourth one, and finally found some time to do that. So in this one, the main focus is going to be something. I've gotten a few emails, people asking me to do this, but I'm also going to be asking answering some other questions also. The main focus of this one is going to be the new iTunes 8 on the Macintosh. Of course, for those of you that may not know, Apple released their new version of iTunes a couple of months ago, version 8, both for Windows and on the Mac. And in the case of Windows, it was a major step forward in accessibility because before that, you pretty much had to use scripts or mouse around the screen. It wasn't as significant for the Macintosh users. For the most part, it was accessible previously, although there was some issues with the iTunes Store, and fortunately that is now fully accessible on the Mac, and I'll be showing you that. There is a couple other things I want to cover in this podcast also. Based on, again, some emails that I've received. I got one asking, how does the Mac and VoiceOver handle watching a DVD? Well, very well, actually, and I'll show you that. And then a couple of the more advanced features on the web. I did get an email asking about dynamic HTML pages, and how does VoiceOver work with that? So I'll show you that. It actually works really well. And I got some other miscellaneous questions, too, about the web. That's one of the biggest things, of course, for people. So I'll answer some of those other miscellaneous questions also when we get there. But I think it's going to be a pretty good podcast. We're going to cover a lot of stuff. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get started here. Like I say, the main focus is going to be iTunes, and what I'm going to show you is several things. I'll show you the preferences window of iTunes. I'll show you the main window, what that looks like. We'll play a CD. We'll pull up a radio station. There are a bunch of free radio stations you can listen to on iTunes. And then we'll take a look at the store. Now, before we actually delve into iTunes, I'll tell you a couple of things. I don't have an iPod, actually. Apple has released their new version of the iPod Nano, the fourth generation, and it does have speaking menus, and Apple should be commended for that. That is excellent. The iPod itself does not have a speech engine or a speech chip in it. The way it works is when you connect it to your computer, you can tell iTunes that you want the enabled menus, or the speech-enabled menus, and then what actually happens is iTunes uses whatever voice you have selected on your computer, whether it's on a Mac or in Windows, whatever the default voice is, and it basically then makes little audio files, as it were, of the voice saying the menu options or the artist and song titles, you know, the whatever you have, you know, synced to your iPod, and then it transfers those voice files to the iPod, and as you go through the menus, then those little audio snippets are played. And I did hear a demonstration of that, and if you want to hear that, check out the main menu archives on acbradio.org. There is a demonstration there of that, and it works really well. I don't have an iPod mainly because, well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I've got a Victor Reader Stream, which meets my music needs single-handedly. And secondly, maybe it's just me, but one pet peeve I've got with any of the iPods is that you have to use iTunes to transfer the music. With the Victor Stream and a lot of other players, you can simply connect it or even use a card reader for the memory card and just copy the MP3 files or whatever the case may be from Windows Explorer or, you know, the Macintosh Finder, just copy them right over and it just works. With the Mac or with the iPod, you actually have to use iTunes to sync the music, and I just think it's an extra step that's not necessary. But again, you know, for some people that may not be an issue, and if that's the case, certainly get one of the new iPods. It does have speaking menus, and again, Apple should be commended for that. Hopefully more and more devices will get that way in the future. That's really the way it should be. We should not have to be paying and depending on third-party developers to make these cell phones and computers accessible. This should be, you know, built in from the ground up. And that's, of course, what the Macintosh has done, and it is what the new iPods have done. Accessibility is a right, in my view. That's the term actually that Saratech uses, and I agree with it. Accessibility is a right. It is not a privilege that we should have to pay extra or have an agency pay extra for us for. It is something that should be built into these cell phones, computers, from the ground up, really. These music players from the ground up. And with the new iPod, there now is a player that has accessibility from the ground up. And, of course, the Macintosh has that already and has had that for a couple of years. So anyway, I don't have an iPod. I mainly use iTunes on the Mac for a couple of things. The radio stations are good, and it makes a great CD player that's accessible because you can actually read the names of the songs on your CD and that type of thing. And I'll show you that as we proceed here. All right, so without further ado, let's go ahead and open up iTunes. I'm going to go ahead and set down my Victor Reader Stream here on my computer table. And I'm using Alex, which is the default voice in the Macintosh. I've slowed it down a little more so you can understand it. And I'm sitting on the desktop. I'm not going to focus as much this time on voice over keystrokes and that type of thing. You can refer back to the other podcasts that I've done on Blind Cool Tech for that type of info. But I'm going to mainly focus on accessing iTunes and the DVD player and then the web stuff that I want to cover. That having been said, I'm sitting on the desktop. I don't have anything open. Let's go ahead and open up iTunes. And I've got a shortcut for that in my dock, actually, and I will cover this briefly. The dock on the Mac is basically a cross between the Windows taskbar and the Windows Quick Launch. And the reason I say that is because you can store shortcuts for applications that you use frequently in the dock. So in that regard, it functions as a quick launch, but then any program that's running will also show up, you know, in the dock as well, along with your shortcuts. Now, as you arrow left and right through those, VoiceOver will tell you if an application is actually running or not, so you know. So anyway, let's press Control F3, which is a built-in Macintosh keyboard command, to go to the dock.
Finder running.
And it says Finder running, because that application, of course, is always running. That's kind of the equivalent of Explorer in Windows. All right, let's get to iTunes. I've got a shortcut for that here. I think if I just press I, it should go right to it.
iTunes.
There we go. Let's press Enter.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
And it says Finder because the focus goes back to that while iTunes loads.
iTunes. Window. iTunes. Sources table has keyboard focus. Sources table one row selected. iTunes Store.
Okay. What we've got here, let me kind of explain to you what's in this window. For those of you that are familiar with iTunes and Windows, this will be fairly familiar to you. I assume. I've never used iTunes in Windows. I usually use Media Player on my PCs, but from what I've been told, the Mac version and the Windows version are fairly similar in their layout. What you land on is the sources table, and what this could very well be is what you'll have in here is things like if you have a CD inserted, you'll have that as a source. You've got the radio stations as a source, so it's basically your selection of where you're getting the music to play. Basically, you might have playlists that you create, and those would be a source. That type of thing. So that's where you land, and we'll arrow up and down here, and I'll show you some of the choices, and then we'll explore some of this in more detail. Let's just arrow up and down here, and I'm right now just using the regular Macintosh up and down arrow keys, so these aren't voiceover commands specifically that we're using at this point.
Radio, stream, podcasts, library playlist, TV shows, library playlist, movies, library playlist, music, library playlist.
Those are some built-in playlists. I've never really created any myself, because I've never really imported any CDs into iTunes. I mainly use MP3s that I create, you know, outside of iTunes, and I use those with my Victor Reader Stream. But, you know, certainly you could make some playlists here and import some of your CDs if you wanted to into iTunes. So that's the sources list. Let's press the tab key.
Search text field, blank, insertion at beginning of text.
Okay, that's a pretty self-explanatory field. You can do a search here if you wanted to for something. Let's tab again.
Songs, table, no selection.
And there's nothing in this playlist, so there's no selection. Now, that's all you can really tab to in this window, but with the voiceover navigation, the entire window is very easily accessed. So let's go ahead and move the voiceover cursor to the top of the window. Let me answer one question. Sorry to deviate here, but I do want to answer this question. Otherwise, I'm afraid I'll forget that I did get from somebody an email. And the question was, when you use the navigating with voiceover, are you moving the mouse pointer like you do in Windows? And are you moving and clicking on things the same way when you're reading with the voiceover? Well, the answer to that question is maybe, but not necessarily. what it is, in itself, no, you're not. What you're actually using is what's called the voiceover cursor, which you can have displayed visually on the screen, although if you can't see, that serves no purpose. I've actually turned that off on mine. So for all intents and purposes, as far as applications go and everything like that, it's an invisible cursor. It's very much like the WE cursor or the JAWS invisible cursor, perhaps, in Windows, as far as navigation goes. Now, there is a setting in VoiceOver that you can use to have the mouse pointer follow the VoiceOver cursor. So in that regard, you're moving the mouse pointer, but doing that is secondary. It's not the primary function of the VoiceOver navigation keys. Like in Windows, of course, you know, unless you toggle to the WE cursor or the JAWS invisible cursor, when you switch to the JAWS cursor, or in the case of WindowEyes, when you start using the numeric keypad by default, the primary function there is to move the mouse pointer. With VoiceOver, there is a setting that you can turn on and off that sets whether the mouse pointer should follow the VoiceOver cursor, but that's kind of secondary. The main difference between the VoiceOver cursor on the Mac and the invisible cursors in Windows, the WE cursor and the invisible cursor, is in Windows, if you're using one of the invisible cursors, you cannot use that to select anything. You're going to have to do one of a couple of things. Either, well, actually only one thing. If you're using the invisible cursor and you want to select something, you have to move the mouse pointer in Windows to the invisible cursor's location. On the Macintosh, that's not the case. Even if you don't have the mouse pointer following your VoiceOver cursor, which I don't, actually. My mouse pointer is sitting up on the Apple menu, and that's where it usually stays. The difference is, with the VoiceOver cursor, you can select or activate the item where the VoiceOver cursor is actually sitting, and that might be a link on a web page, it might be a button in this in an iTunes window, it might be, you know, any of those things. So that is one major difference, for the better, actually, compared to the Macintosh, you know, and the PC. So hopefully that answers this person's question. You can have the mouse pointer follow the VoiceOver cursor, but it's secondary, it's not the primary purpose of the navigation keys. There are times, though, when you do have to move the mouse to an item. There are some oddly behaved things where when you do the VoiceOver command to activate the item in the VoiceOver cursor, it doesn't respond to that for some reason. So then what you can do is, if your mouse pointer is not set to follow the VoiceOver cursor, there's a command to route it there, and then you actually do a separate command to have VoiceOver do a mouse click. Fortunately, that's rare. And hopefully that will get even more rare, where you actually have to do that as, you know, programs evolve and hopefully become, you know, more accessible. But the command is there if you need it. So anyway, I just wanted to cover that question so I did not forget. And it seemed like kind of an appropriate time to talk about it, because to navigate all of the controls in this iTunes window, we are going to go ahead and use the voiceover navigation. So let me go ahead and zap to the top of the window here.
Previous dimmed button.
All right. And the first option is previous, and it's dimmed, of course, because we're not in an active playlist or anything like that, so voiceover tells us that it's dimmed. All right. Let's just move through this window here an item at a time, and we'll explore what we've got on the main window.
Play dimmed button. Next dimmed button. Idle image. Mute button. 50.0% horizontal slider.
Okay, that slider is the volume control. You can set the iTunes volume independent of your main system volume, and a lot of times it's good to do that, because if you have it all the way up and you're listening to a song, you may not hear your computer speech. So it's kind of good to take that down a little bit. You can certainly do that here. I've got mine set at 50%. Now, I'll show you here, this slider is actually not really, you can't really get to it by tabbing around, but again, VoiceOver provides a way to deal with that. I'll do another Windows contrast here, where VoiceOver is kind of for the better. In Windows, if you cannot reach a slider by tabbing to it, your only option is to, you're probably going to have to get sighted help for it, because it's the only other way is to drag it with the mouse, and to try to get the mouse pointer on exactly the right spot and then use your screen reader's drag commands can be quite tedious in Windows. Well, in this case, we've got the VoiceOver cursor sitting on that. If we wanted to move this slider, let's just go ahead and interact with it.
Interact with horizontal slider.
Now, if we just use the VoiceOver left and right commands here.
49.0%. 48.0%, 47.0%.
The slider is easily moved, very, very easily. Okay, let's go ahead and put that back to where it was, 50.4, I think it was.
50.0%.
There we go. All right, and let's go ahead and stop interacting with that slider.
Stop interacting with horizontal slider.
Okay, let's go ahead and keep moving through the window.
Full volume button.
That's a quick and easy way to put your volume all the way up to 100% if you wanted to.
Text list button. Grid button.
Text list grid, that kind of determines how your playlists are sorted. List is a good choice, especially if you're using it with speech, because that way everything's in one column and it's kind of in alphabetical order. It makes it nice and simple to navigate up and down through.
Cover flow button. Search text field blank.
There's the search text field that we were kind of looking at a little bit earlier.
Sources table.
And that's the sources table that we landed on actually when we first opened up iTunes.
Vertical splitter. Songs table.
And there's the songs table that would have some things in it if this playlist actually had anything in it, which it doesn't. So there's nothing here on that.
New playlist button.
And that's pretty self-explanatory.
Do not shuffle button. No repeat button.
That's just your playing options. You can set it to shuffle or repeat or not to repeat songs, both on a CD and in a playlist you create. Because that's essentially what happens when you insert a CD. Essentially, you've got a playlist of the tracks on that CD. And I'll show you that here in just a little bit.
Show artwork button.
Show artwork, that probably really doesn't mean too much if you can't see it.
Genius dim button.
What Genius is, I've never really used this, but it basically makes recommendations for other music selections that you might be interested in based on playlists and things that you may already have. I don't have mine turned on, but that is something certainly you can use if you wish.
Show Genius sidebar button.
Show Genius sidebar, I don't have that enabled at the moment because I really don't use the feature.
Show Genius sidebar button.
Okay, that's the last option in the window. Now, if I had it enabled, which I don't, VoiceOver, you can have VoiceOver make a sound effect when you reach the end of the window. But I've got the sound effects kind of turned off because I really don't need them. And there is also a VoiceOver setting where you can have it wrap back to the top of the window, again, when you reach the bottom. But again, I don't have that because I like to know when I'm actually at the bottom. So that's what the main window looks like. Let's go in and actually take a look at some of the preferences that you can change in iTunes. So to do that, let's go ahead and go up to the menu bar, and again, we'll use a standard, well, there is a voiceover command to reach the menu bar, but you really don't need it in most cases because the Mac OS has a command built in for that, and it's Control F2. That's kind of the equivalent of pressing the Alt key in Windows, if that will help you to kind of compare it. Okay, so let's press Control F2.
Menu bar, Apple.
And the Apple menu is always kind of the first one here. All right, let's just, I'm using the regular Mac arrow keys now. We're not using the voiceover navigation anymore at this point in time, though we will in the preferences window. But for now, let's just press the regular right arrow key.
iTunes.
There we go, and that's what we want. Let's press the down arrow key here.
iTunes menu.
And let's just arrow down to preferences and press enter.
About iTunes, iTunes hot tips, preferences, ellipsis, command, comma.
Okay, it says ellipsis, which an ellipsis is dot, 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 basically, which means anything with a dot, dot, dot or ellipsis is going to open a dialog box when you press it. And command, comma is the keyboard shortcut, so we could have just pressed that. But we're sitting on it here, so let's just press enter.
Dialog, general, general, library name, show, source text, list text, when you insert a CD.
Okay, so I've got mine set to automatically read a dialog box when it opens. So now for this, generally speaking, in any dialog box, though you can tab to a lot of the controls in most cases, I always prefer to read these dialog boxes with the voiceover cursor, because a lot of times between the controls there is text that actually explains what a control does, which of course you won't get to when you tab around. And of course with the voiceover cursor, if you want to activate something, that's very simple to do. Plus another advantage that voiceover does, which none of the Windows screen readers do this as far as I know, you can turn this off if you don't want it to do it, but by default it's enabled. As you move your voiceover cursor to different controls, if the keyboard focus, the main system focus, can also move to that control, it will do so. So your keyboard focus and your voiceover cursor will generally stay synchronized. Of course, in Windows, if you're reading with the mouse pointer and, a lot of times unless you click on something, your keyboard focus will be in a totally different place. But with voiceover, when you move to with a button or something to that effect, your keyboard focus will also be there also, so they're not in two separate places. Again, unless you turn that off, which you can do. It's called cursor tracking. And that's what kind of allows you on a web page not to have to deal with a forms mode or a browse mode or anything like that. And we'll talk a little more about some advanced web stuff a little bit later on in this podcast. Okay, so we're in the preferences. Let's go ahead and, again, let's move the voiceover cursor to the top of the window.
Toolbar.
Okay, it says toolbar. What that is the different tabs of this preferences dialog box. Of course, in a lot of dialogs, you have the different tabs, or the property sheets, as some screen readers in Windows call them. I do like to kind of make some Windows comparisons, because for some people it does help to understand. The Mac has some differences that you'd have to get used to if you were used to Windows, but some of the concepts are the same, or you can compare it, and that's why I'm kind of doing some Windows comparisons here. So those of you that have never used a Mac and are just familiar with Windows won't feel so, like it's a new thing. I mean, it's different in some ways, but there are some similarities. All right, so we're on this toolbar here, and that would give us the different options like general and playing and stuff, and we'll look at each one of these. But the general is what has popped up first, the general tab. So let's just go ahead and read through this window, and now we will use the voiceover navigation to do that instead of the tab key, so we can get all the intervening text also for each control.
Library name, Mike Arrigo's Library, edit text.
Okay, you can change the name of the library here if you want to. I've never seen a need to do that, so just kind of leave the name as it is. Okay, let's keep going here.
Show movies, checkbox.
This is just determines what shows in your library, the different sources that we were looking at a little bit ago, like movies and that type of thing, and we could enable or disable any of these if we wanted to.
Applications, unchecked checkbox, TV shows, checked checkbox, Radio, checked, checkbox.
Radio's kind of neat. I'll show you that here in a little bit.
Podcasts, checked, checkbox. Party Shuffle, checked, checkbox. Audiobooks, unchecked, checkbox. Ringtones, unchecked, checkbox. Genius, unchecked, checkbox.
That's a genius. That's the thing I was telling you about earlier where it can make recommendations.
Source text. Small. Pop-up button.
Source text, you can set the size of it for somebody. Again, if you can't see the screen, it probably doesn't matter much, but you can change that certainly if you wish.
List text. Small. Pop-up button.
List text.
When you insert a CD.
This is kind of an interesting item. When you insert a CD.
Begin playing. Pop-up button.
Begin playing, and there's a couple of different options here you can choose. A pop-up button, anytime you see that on the Mac, it's very similar to like a list box or a combo box or something like that in Windows, and you just select it, and then the little menu opens up, and you can just make a selection. I'll go ahead and select this one and show you what's all here. When you insert a CD, you can have it do a couple of things.
Begin playing. Menu.
Begin playing. Let's see what else we've got here.
Ask to import CD. Import CD. Import CD and eject. Show CD. Check mark. Begin playing.
Begin playing, and that's checked. That's what I've got set, and I'll leave it like that. That's what I prefer, so we'll just press escape to get out of this menu.
Begin playing. Pop-up button.
Okay, let's go back to the voiceover navigation keys, and let's explore the rest of this tab of the preferences.
Import settings button.
Import settings, you can control how that's done. I'll go ahead and open it. Let's see what's in here. We'll have a look.
Press import dialog. Import settings. Import settings. Import using setting details.
Okay. 60. I'll go ahead and press the control key so we don't hear all that. What I did there is I just used the voiceover, again, that command I was talking about earlier where it basically activates activates whatever item is in the voiceover cursor. So you'd press a button or check or uncheck a checkbox, as appropriate. So let's take a look at this window then, and these are the import settings.
Import using.
Import using.
AAC encoder. Pop-up button.
AAC encoder. I'm not sure what else is even here. Let's see.
AAC encoder. AIFF encoder. Apple lossless encoder. MP3 encoder.
Okay, so you can actually import directly to MP3 then. That's a good thing.
WAV encoder.
Wave encoder. That would take up quite a bit more room though, of course.
Check mark. AAC encoder.
Okay. I'm going to actually change that to MP3. I've never imported something using to MP3 using this, but I may actually try that if it does support MP3. So I'm going to go ahead and actually change that to MP3. I was just using the regular arrow keys there, not the voiceover navigation. You can do that, once the menu's open. So I'm just going to arrow down to MP3 and press enter.
AI Apple MP3 encoder. MP3 encoder.
Okay, there we go. Let's take a look at the rest of this window.
MP3 encoder. Pop-up setting. High quality. 160 kbps. Pop-up button.
Let's take a look at our other choices here for MP3.
Check mark. High quality.
There, I pressed the, I used the voiceover select item command again, and it just opens that pop-up menu, and we can arrow through the items here.
Higher quality. 192 kbps. Custom ellipsis.
Custom, you can, I guess, really fine-tune it. I'm not going to do that at this point, but let's see what else we've got.
Good quality, 128 kbps. Check mark. High quality, 160 kbps.
That's fine. I'll leave that as it is, so we'll just press escape to get out of this menu.
High quality, 160 kbps. Pop-up button.
Okay, let's keep looking at this rest of the stuff in this window.
Details. 80 kbps, mono, 160 kbps, stereo, joint stereo, optimized for MMXSSC, using MP.
Okay, I guess that's some info on that setting.
Use error correction when reading audio CDs, unchecked checkbox.
I'm going to go ahead and check that, because I like to, it takes a little bit longer, but that way you know for sure that it comes out right. So again, I'm just going to press the voiceover activate item command to check this.
Check use error correction when reading audio CDs checkbox.
There we go, and it says check, because it knows it's unchecked, and it knows that it's checking it, so that's a good thing. Okay, let's keep going.
Use this option if you experience problems with the audio quality from audio CDs. This may reduce the speed of importing.
That's okay. I'm willing to spend a little more time for better quality.
Note, these settings do not apply to songs downloaded from the iTunes Store.
No, they wouldn't, because those are already predetermined. And that's what I meant when I said, you know, it's better to kind of, in a dialog box, to kind of read with the voiceover cursor. That way you get all the intervening text also in between the controls.
Cancel button. Okay button.
And there's okay. Let's go ahead and select that, and that'll take us out of this dialog box and go back to the main preferences dialog.
Press general. Library name. Show source.
Okay. Let's keep going down this window. Now we're back in the general tab of preferences.
Begin import settings. Button. Automatically retrieve CD track names from internet. Checked checkbox.
And we want to leave that checked. That's a good thing, and it actually does that very well. And I'll show you that when we do a CD here in just a little bit.
Check for new software updates automatically. Unchecked checkbox.
I don't have that checked. I prefer to check for it manually. I'm not a fan of really automatic updates. Of course, when you don't have that enabled, you have to remember to check, which I'm pretty good about, but I like to know when something's going to be downloaded and exactly what's going on with my computers. I don't really like them kind of taking off and doing stuff without me knowing. So I have that disabled. But and you can also get the iTunes updates from the main software update under the Apple menu. But if you want to enable that, certainly feel free for automatic updates.
Cancel, but OK.
And there's
button.
Cancel and OK. All right, so that's all for the general. Now, let's go back up to the top, back to that toolbar, and we'll go to the next tab here. I'm not going to show you every single tab, because there's a couple where, without having an iPod or an Apple TV, it really wouldn't apply too much. But I'll show you the other stuff that's really interesting at this point in time. Let's go ahead and zap back up to the top of the window.
Toolbar.
And let's actually interact with that toolbar so we can see the different items. Interacting is basically zooming in or focusing in on an item.
Interact with toolbar. 8 items. General button.
Okay, we're sitting on general. Let's go ahead and go to the right.
Playback button.
Playback. Let's see what options that has. So we'll go ahead and select that.
Press playback button.
Okay, and let's go ahead and stop interacting with that toolbar.
Stop interacting with toolbar.
Okay, let's go ahead and read through this window now.
Crossfade songs. Unchecked checkbox.
Crossfading is basically when a song starts to fade out, the new one kind of comes in as the other one's fading out. You see that a lot on like radio stations. You'll hear them do that. And you can enable that effect on this if you want to. I don't have that enabled on mine, but you can do that if you wish.
45.5% dimmed horizontal slider.
And it's got a slider here for the amount of, you know, the fade in. Of course, it's dimmed right now because we don't have that option enabled. It's not checked, so to change that slider would serve no purpose, since it's dimmed and VoiceOver indicates that.
1 second.
1 second. Okay, that's how long. I guess the 45% is where it's set, but of course we can't change it. Now, if we were to check that option, then we would be able to change it, but since it's not checked again, that's where it'll stay at this point.
12. Sound enhancer. Checked checkbox.
Okay, sound enhancer. This actually does seem to provide a little more of an ambient effect, especially on some of the radio stations. The best way I can describe it, it's kind of an ambience effect. It sounds like the person singing is like in a concert hall. You kind of have that reverb effect, and I kind of like that, actually. So I do have that enabled, and there is a slider below that, I believe, that you can set the amount of, you know, enhancement that there is. Although I've never tried changing that actually during a song. I'll have to try that sometime.
54% horizontal slider.
And it's set to 50.4% actually at the moment. So I'll go ahead and leave that as it is.
Low, high.
Well, low and high, and that's basically a part of the slider. Again, you know, on each end.
Sound check, uncheck checkbox.
Sound check. I'm not exactly sure what that is. Let's see if there's any intervening text below it.
automatically adjust song playback volume to the same level.
Oh, okay. It's basically a volume equalizing thing, so it basically keeps the volume at the same level for all the songs, basically, is what that does.
Play movies and TV shows. In the iTunes window, pop-up button.
Okay, that sounds reasonable.
Play music videos. In the iTunes window, pop-up button.
I'm not even sure what else you can choose to play those in besides the iTunes window. Let's see.
In the iTunes window, in a separate window.
Okay.
Full screen with visuals. In artwork viewer, check mark. In the iTunes window.
I'll just keep that set to in the iTunes window. Sounds simple enough.
In the iTunes window, pop-up button.
Okay, let's keep going here.
Audio language, English, pop-up button.
Okay, you can change the audio language. For those of you that maybe listen to stuff in more than one language, I know for anyone listening in Europe to this, I know a lot of you folks are multilingual. A lot of times you do some things in English and some in whatever your country's native language might be. So you can certainly change that here if you wish for the audio language.
Subtitle language.
And the subtitle language, you can also change that if you wish.
Off. Pop up subtitle language.
I got subtitles turned off at the moment.
Off. Play videos using standard definition version. Uncheck checkbox. Show closed captioning when available. Uncheck checkbox.
And I don't have that enabled because really don't have any trouble hearing anything, so no need to keep that on. But for those of you that may want to use that, it's available to you if the content you're playing supports it.
Cancel button.
And we're down to cancel and OK. All right, let's go back up to the toolbar again, and let's see what else we've got here.
Toolbar. Interact with toolbar. Playback. Sharing button.
Sharing, I'm going to skip that one. That just allows you to share your media on a network, on a local area network, if you have one. It's pretty self-explanatory. You can choose whether or not to do that.
Store button.
Store. Let's go in there and take a look. And I'll show you how the store navigates, too, actually, in just a bit here. Let's go ahead and select this button.
Press store button.
All right, and let's stop interacting with the toolbar.
Stop interacting with toolbar.
Okay, let's take a look at this window.
Buy and download using one. Click radio button.
Okay, that's a radio button. I don't have that selected. I've got the next one selected, which is...
When you click a buy button, your account is charged and your purchase is downloaded to iTunes on your computer.
Okay, that's the description. I've got the next one selected.
By using a shopping cart, selected radio button.
I prefer to do it that way. I've never actually bought anything from the iTunes store, but you know, there may come a time when I do that. But I prefer the shopping cart method because then you know, if you accidentally click the wrong thing or something like that, you have a chance to kind of look at everything and make sure that, you know, you did select what you wanted, and it basically prevents maybe an accidental purchase that maybe you didn't want. So I've got it set to use the shopping cart method.
Add or remove items before purchasing. When you click buy now, your account is charged and your purchases are downloaded.
Yeah, so you actually have to confirm it each time, and that's the way I prefer it, just to make sure that I selected what I meant to.
Automatically check for available downloads. Uncheck checkbox. Automatically download pre-purchased content. Uncheck checkbox. iTunes Pass content and other purchases will download to this computer as items become available.
Okay, that would be good. Maybe if you've ordered like a TV show or something like that, or several things and new things are coming out, it'll automatically download it for you.
Automatically download missing album artwork. Uncheck checkbox.
It probably wouldn't matter too much if you can't see it, but certainly you can enable that if you do have some vision and you want to look at that.
Album artwork for songs which you imported into iTunes will be downloaded.
Oh, okay. So if you import stuff, it'll get the artwork. Again, if you can't see it, probably really no real purpose there.
Cancel button. Okay button.
And we're back to cancel and okay. Let's go back up to the top again, to the toolbar.
Toolbar. Interact with toolbar. Playback, sharing button, store button, parental button.
That's for parental controls. That's pretty self-explanatory. I won't bother going into that.
Apple TV button.
Apple TV, which I don't have, so I'll skip that one.
Devices button.
And devices, I really don't have an iPod or anything like that, so we'll go ahead and skip that.
Advanced button.
Let's see what's in advanced. That always usually has some interesting items.
Press advanced button. Stop interacting with toolbar.
We'll stop interacting with the toolbar and let's see what's here.
iTunes music folder location.
Okay, that's where the music is actually stored.
Macintosh HD. Users. Mike or Eagle Cologne Music Cologne iTunes Cologne iTunes. Music. iTunes music folder location.
Okay, that's where it's at. This is very similar to Windows. You have like the users folder, and each user kind of has their own folder with their name, and underneath that you've got a music folder. So that's pretty self-explanatory.
Change button.
You can change that if you wish. I'll keep it the same.
Reset button. Keep iTunes music folder organized. Unchecked checkbox. Places files into album and artist folders, and names the files based on the disc number, track number, and the song title.
Okay, so that's, you can set it how it organizes anything that's imported.
Copy files to iTunes music folder when adding to library. Unchecked checkbox.
So that one you can determine whether it just makes a playlist or if it actually copies the files, encodes them and then copies them to your music folder with that setting.
Streaming buffer size.
Okay, streaming buffer size, that's for like if you're listening to a radio station or a stream, you can set the buffer size low, medium, or high. I've got mine set to medium, which seems to work fine.
Medium. Pop-up button. Use iTunes for internet playback. Set button.
And you can set iTunes to be the default player.
Reset all dialog warnings. Reset button. Keep mini player on top of all other windows. Unchecked checkbox.
I don't have that checked. Generally, you don't want to have windows appearing on top of other things. It can cover them up, especially if you're trying to use something with the speech.
Keep movie window on top of all other windows. Unchecked checkbox.
And again, I've got that done checked for the same reason.
Display visualizer full screen. Unchecked checkbox.
Again, if you can't see it, that probably doesn't help much, so.
Group compilations when browsing. Checked checkbox. Cancel button.
Okay, so that's all for the preferences. I'll go ahead and select OK here because I did make some changes to that import setting for MP3, and I don't know if I know there was a separate OK, but I think you probably got to hit OK here also just to make sure that saves, so I'll go ahead and do that.
OK.
And that
button.
Will then go ahead and take us out of preferences and back to the main iTunes window.
Press OK. Songs table. No selection. Songs table.
Alright, let me show you then how the radio works, picking up a radio station. Let's go ahead and tab to the sources list here.
Sources, table 1, row selected, music, library playlist.
Okay. Now, let's arrow down to radio here for the source.
Movies, library play, TV shows, podcasts, radio, stream.
Okay, and that's a stream. So now let's go ahead and tab to the list, and what that will actually be is our genre, basically, or the different formats of the radio stations.
Songs, table, no selection.
Okay, so now we can just arrow down here.
Collapsed, row 1. Status, blank, text, name, alternative, bitrate, comment.
Okay, now rather than hearing that each time, let's go ahead and interact with this, because it's a table, basically. Let's interact with that. It with a voiceover, and what we can then do is set the voiceover cursor on just one column. In this case, it would be the name. And then we can just use the regular up and down arrow keys, and we'll only hear that item. So we'll be able to get through these names a lot faster. So let's go ahead and interact with this.
Interact with songs table. Unselected, collapsed, row 1. Status, blank, text, name, alternative, bitrate, comment.
Okay. And that really comes in handy, too, in email, which I showed you on the last podcast. If you just want to hear, like, the subject of each message, or maybe just the sender or something like that without hearing the whole thing. Okay, let's move the voiceover cursor here left or right till we get to the name.
Name, alt bitrate, name, alternative, collapsed level 0.
And it says collapsed. All right, let's just arrow down through these now and see if we can find a format that's interesting. Probably POP. That's a pretty universal one. Everybody likes that. So let's see if we can get down to that.
Ambient, blues, text, classic rock, text, classical, text, college radio, comedy, country, dance, eclectic, electronic, folk, golden oldies, hip-hop, hits of the 70s, 80s, 90s, text.
Ooh, that might be good. Let's actually do that one. I wonder if we can actually, I'm just curious, if we can hit the first letter of something we want in this and get to it. Let's see.
POP. Text.
You can. Okay. Let's hit H again. I'm going to do that hits of the 70s and 80s one.
Hip-hop rap. Text. Hits of the 70s, 80s, 90s. Text.
Okay. Now what we need to do is expand this. Now, in a lot of Finder, in a lot of these tables, you can press the regular right arrow key to expand the list. This is very similar for you Windows users, like a tree view, where you're expanding, you know, the different branches. This one, it doesn't expand with the press of a right arrow key, but that's okay because VoiceOver has a command to deal with that. There's a command that expands the item that you're on. So I'm going to go ahead and hit that now, and that should reveal the stations to us. Let's see.
Hits of the 70s, hits of the 70s, 80s, 90s, text.
All right, now let's arrow down through here, and we should get some stations. Let's see.
ABF analog, text. About 80s.com, radio, text. Absolute 70s, 1.fm, TM, text. All 80s, 141.fm, text.
That sounds like it might be a fun one. Let's go ahead and play it. I was just arrowing through them. Again, if we just press enter, I think it'll play it for us. Let's see.
Getting playlist. Blank text. All 80s. 100.
Okay. And there we go. Yep, from 84. Stevie Wonder. I just called to say I love you. Now, the one thing about this... I'll go ahead and pick up the Victor Reader stream here and talk a little closer so you can make sure you can hear what I'm telling you here with the music, too. This does not tell you the title or artist of the song. They are radio stations, you know, and iTunes doesn't tell you that. But certainly you've got plenty of radio stations here to choose from, though, and they're all free. If we arrow down a little farther, let's see.
All Euro 80s. 1.fm, TM, text. All flashback alternatives, 1. All flashback alternatives, 1. All flashback alternatives, 1.fm, TM. All hits 70s, on, sky.fm, text.
All right, if we wanted to switch to that one, we could just press enter. And...
All hits 70s.
Another good song, 3 Degrees, When Will I See You Again, from 74. Mm-hmm. That's a good song. So the radio stations work very well, and it's very accessible. Works very well. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and press, I'm going to go ahead and stop that. Do a command period, and that's the iTunes stop command. Actually, that works in most programs where you play stuff. And I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording and go grab a music CD so I can show you a little more about how that works. I covered that briefly in my first podcast, but I'll go into a little more detail here. So let's go ahead and pause the recording, and we'll pick it up here in just a minute once I get a CD. Okay, we're back on the recording here, and I went ahead and grabbed a CD. This is actually a CD I got a couple of weeks ago. It's a 2-CD box set by the Alan Parsons Project. And I just pulled out one of the CDs from the case. It looks like this is actually disc 2, but that's okay. So I'm going to go ahead and insert this. Now, of course, some Macintoshes are different with their drives. I think the laptops, you actually, the drawer slides out and you put the CD on and then you manually close it. With the iMacs, I think you have the typical CD round drive where the drawer, kind of the tray, slides out and you lay the disc on it and then you press the button again and it closes it. With the Mac Mini, which is what I've got, You just kind of, it's got a front slot on the front of the actual computer, because the Mac Mini, it's about the size probably of a, well, it's smaller even than a desktop DVD player would be. And the slot, it's just a front loading, and you basically just push the disk partially in the slot, and once it detects that, it'll just grab it from you and suck it in the rest of the way. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now. And we got it in the slot. We'll just push it a little bit. And it just grabbed it and sucked it inside. And now it'll take a second while it scans the disk and figures out what it is. But then what it'll do is it'll automatically add another item to the sources for this actual disk. And actually, it'll start to play it also, because remember, I've got mine set to automatically start to play it. It's scanning the disk now. And
sources, table 1 row selected. The Essential Alan Parsons Project, Disc 2, Disc Playlist.
And there it is. It automatically selects the source and starts to play the disc. So now what we can do is we can go ahead and tab to the songs list.
Search text field, songs, table, no selection. Row 1. Status, 1 playing, name, Sirius, time, 1:55, artist, The Alan Parsons Project, album, The Essential Alan Parsons Project, disc 2, genre, rock.
Okay, so what it does is it it goes out to the internet and grabs the you know, the artist and the title and displays all that information here for you. Now, if we wanted to just skip tracks here, we can just press the right arrow key. And it will just skip right to the next track. And that's Eye in the Sky. Great song. Now we're on actually on track 2. Now, the other thing we can do is, since this list of songs is here, we can actually just arrow through them and select a song that we want. And we can also do that little trick about interacting with the table. So we just hear the one column, the name. I'll go ahead and do that now. Let's go ahead and interact with this table.
Interact with songs table unselected row 1. Status 1 name. Okay. Name Sirius.
Okay. I just moved the voiceover cursor to the right one item, and that is the name column. And now if we just arrow down through the items.
Eye in the Sky. Text. Silence and I. Old and Wise. Mama Gamma. Text. Prime Time. Text.
Prime Time. That's another really good song, and that's actually track 6. So if we're sitting on that, if I press enter, it'll just skip right to that track. And it just did that, so now we're on track 6. So, you've essentially got an accessible CD player here with iTunes, and if you want to hear, you know, the names of all the songs on each disc, you can certainly do that. The one thing I have not figured out how to do, and I don't think you can do it. If anyone knows how to do this, or if it's possible, please let me know. But to skip back and forth, like just a couple of seconds, you know how like on a lot of the stereos you can skip back and forward, you know, through the actual tracks. You hold the back or forward key down. I don't think that works with this. Let me see. If you hold the right arrow key? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It just continuously skips through the tracks. So I went ahead and stopped that CD. So I don't think there is a way to skip just a few seconds through an actual track like you can on a stereo system. Certainly if anybody knows how to do that, let me know. I'd love to know. All right, so let's go ahead and eject this CD here. The command to do that is you hold the command key down on the Mac and we press E.
Sources, table 1 row selected, music, library playlist.
And it goes back up and selects the music library playlist. Since the CD's been ejected, it wouldn't be appropriate to keep that as a source there because it's not there anymore. So I'll just go ahead and put that CD back in the case. And the last thing I want to show you in iTunes is really what the improvement was with iTunes 8. And that was the store, the iTunes store. Now, like I said, I've never bought anything from the iTunes store. I've actually never bought any online music. Just really haven't had a need to yet. But I may do that at some point. And I'll show you a couple of things. I'll show you the kind of the home page, as it were, and then I'll show you how to do a search in the iTunes store. So I believe we can just tab back to the sources and arrow down to the store one, and that will get us to the store here. Let's see.
Search text field, songs, table, sources, table one row selected, music, live, movies, TV show, podcast, radio, iTunes store, iTunes, window, iTunes, all hits 70s on sky.fm.
Okay, that's what I was listening to before, I think.
iTunes, ready. Sign in to download music from the iTunes. Cancel. View cart button.
Okay.
Help. But create new account. But AOL member account. Radio button. Apple account. I remember password.
Let me cancel this because I.
Apple. View cancel button. Sources. Table one row selected. Music. Library. Move. TV. Pod. Radio. Sources. Tape. Radio. Stream. iTunes Store.
There we go. Okay. iTunes Store. Now I believe with that. That kind of gives us the opening page. Let's use the voiceover cursor to navigate now through this window. And what we should get to is an area that it calls HTML content, which is basically the same thing that you get when browsing a web page. So let's go ahead and use the voiceover cursor here to navigate this window.
Vertical previous iTunes Store page, dim button, next iTunes Store home button, sign into my iTunes Store account button. iTunes Store HTML content.
There we are. It says iTunes Store HTML content. So let's go ahead and interact with that.
Interact with iTunes Store HTML content. Link. New release movie. The Dark Knight.
Okay. And now it's basically almost just like browsing a web page. We can navigate through this.
Link. iTunes Store. Link. 51st Annual Grammy Awards 2008. Heading Level 2. iTunes Store. See all, iTunes Store, button, link, music, genres, link, movies.
Okay, what if we're interested in music? Let's go ahead and go back to that link.
Genre, link, music.
And we'll select that.
Press, music.
Okay.
Pre-order the album and get a track now, a different me, image.
Okay, so now we should be able to continue to navigate this.
Link, 51st Annual, link, Slumdog Millionaire. Heading Level 2, iTunes Store. See all, iTunes Store, button. Link, music, genres. Link, movies. Link, TV shows.
Actually, let me navigate by heading here to get past these links at the top. If we just use the next heading command, I think it'll skip us past this.
Level 2, more music. Link, iTunes 2008. Link, best of the store. Link, iTunes Essentials. Link, iTunes Originals. Link, iMix. Link, Celebrity. Link, Just Added. Link, Starbucks. Link, Nike Sport Music. Link, New. Link, iTunes Live From. Link, Live From Soho. Link, My iTunes. Link, New. Heading Level 2, Pre-Orders. Link, Keisha Cole. Link, Franz Ferdinand. Link, The Fray, Deluxe. Link, The Fray. Link, The All-American Rejects. Heading Level 2, Great Music, Great Prices. Link, Albums Under $9. Link, Albums Under $7.
Okay, so you kind of get the idea here. You could certainly continue to browse that. Now, what if we wanted to do a search? Okay. There might be a couple other ways to do it, but the one way I know that works, let's go up to the menu bar again with the Control F2.
Menu bar, Apple.
And let's go over to the store menu.
iTunes. Top edit, view, control, store.
There we go. Let's press the down arrow key and go in there.
Store, menu, back, connect, forward, home, search, ellipsis.
That's what we want. Let's press enter there.
Search.
And now we should be able to navigate that, and there should be some options for searching here. Let's see.
Sign into my iTunes Store HTML content. Songs to iTunes. Interact with iTunes Store HTML content. All results. Power search. Power all result title. Edit text blank. Artist. Edit text blank.
All right, so we're in the artist edit box now, and again, there's no need to enter or exit a forms mode or turn off and on a browse mode, nothing like that on the Mac, which is good. We are in the box, ready to type. Well, let's see. I'm a I'm a big Bee Gees fan. Let's do a search for that. So we'll just do I'll type that in. We'll do B-E-E space.
B-E-E space.
And G-E-E-S.
G-E-E-S.
Okay. And now we should have a search button here around here somewhere.
Search button.
There it is. Let's go ahead and select that.
Press search button. iTunes Store HTML content.
All right. Let's go ahead and navigate this and see what we've got.
Unchecked checkbox. Search button. Unchecked checkbox.
And these are some checkboxes that you can check or not check to control your search.
Link. Search iTunes Plus. Unchecked checkbox. Link. Search songs that can be made into ringtones. Heading level 2. Artists and more. Link. Bee Gees.
Bee Gees. That should be...
Link. Pop rock. Bee Gees.
That should be what we want.
Link. Snoop Dogg.
Let's
Link.
Go back and...
Pop. Link. Bee Gees.
I think that's what we want. Let's go ahead and select that.
Press Bee Gees. Music.
Okay. Now let's see what we've got here.
Link. Music videos. Heading. Link. Music.
Let's just go ahead and select music here. That should be what we want. Not really too interested in the videos. Let's just go ahead and do the music one.
Press music. Music.
All right. Let's see what we've got.
Link. Music video. Heading level 2. Albums. Page 1 of 2. Next page button. Sort by. Bestsellers. Pop-up button.
Let's see if we can sort that by release date. That's a pop-up button, so we should be able to select that and just arrow down through the menu.
Bestsellers. Release date.
There we go. Release date. We'll press enter there.
Release date.
Okay. And...
Link. Bee Gees. Link. Bee Gees. Greatest bonus video version remastered. Link. Bee Gees. Greatest bonus video version remastered. Visited link. Bee Gees. Released 2007. $14.99. Add album. Bee Gees. Greatest bonus video version remastered. Bee Gees. $14.99 button.
And that button would add it to the shopping cart if we wanted to.
Link. Bee Gees. Greatest clips. Bee Gees artwork. Link. Viz released gallery ad album. Link. If I can't have you, the link. Viz released $2 ad album. Link. Saturday Night Fever, the original movie sap. Link. Saturday Night Fever, the original movie soundtrack remastered. Various released 2007 dollar ad out. Link. Staying Alive, Teddy Bear's remix. Link. Visited link. Bee Gees released $2000 ad out. Link. You Should Be Dancing, Jason Bentley Phillips Dyer remix single. Link. Released dollar ad out. Link. Number ones. Bee Gees artwork.
Okay, so plenty of results there, and if you wanted to look through those and actually purchase something, you could do that. Very accessible. It's just like navigating a web page. So that's very good. All right, let's go ahead and exit out of iTunes. I covered everything in there I think I wanted to show you. Very accessible, very good with iTunes 8. The only part that really wasn't accessible before that had some issues with some parts of the store, and Apple has definitely cleaned that up. So that's good. All right, let's go ahead and exit out of here. We'll press Command-Q. Actually, that's the typical Macintosh command for quitting an application.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
And we're back on the desktop here with Macintosh HD, the hard drive, selected. All right, I'm going to pause this, and I'm going to go grab a DVD so I can show you how the DVD player works. And it works very well also. So we'll pause this and come right back. All right, we're back on the recording here, and I've grabbed a DVD. I think this is a Cops DVD, I'm pretty sure. I do like that TV show. And I'll show you how the DVD player works. Now, the DVD player comes built in to the Mac. There is no need to purchase it. I think actually in Windows 2, in Windows Vista, there is a DVD player, but not in XP. In XP, you'd have to buy an encoder, or a decoder, I guess I should say, to use it with Media Player, or buy a separate, buy a separate DVD player program. But with the Macintosh, it comes with it, and it works well, and it's accessible, at least as far as navigation goes. Now, the main DVD interactive menu doesn't read, but that doesn't read on any DVD player at this point. Hopefully that's something that can eventually be changed, so it is accessible, but fortunately, usually just pressing enter on the first thing is what you want. Now, if you have watched it before, it will ask you where you want to start. Do you want to start from the beginning or the place where you left off? And that is accessible. So I will go ahead and insert this disk into my drive. Let's push it in the front slot here. There we go. And it just grabbed it. Okay. And again, I have the DVD player on my dock. So we'll do Control F3.
iTunes.
To get down to the dock. And I think just pressing D will do the trick.
DVD player.
That's it. Press enter.
Finder. Macintosh HD. Selected. DVD. Window. COPS. Image.
Yeah, this is a COPS DVD. Okay. So to start playing this, and I think, yeah, I have watched this before. So it'll probably ask what we want to do here. Press the space bar to play.
Playback location. This is a previously viewed disc. Please select where to start playing. The default action can be set in the DVD player preferences.
Okay. So we could either tab through this, or we could use the voiceover cursor to select something. We'll use the voiceover cursor, and we'll read the whole window. We'll go to the top here.
This is a previously viewed disc. Please select where to start playing. Beginning of disc button. Default bookmarked dim button. The last time played button. Cancel button. The default action can be set in the DVD player preferences. The default action can be set in the DVD player preferences.
I'll go ahead and start at the beginning here. So we'll go back up with the voiceover cursor.
Cancel the last default book beginning of disc button.
And we'll select that.
Press. Beginning of disk button. Window. COPS. Image. DVD player ready. DVD player has new window.
All right. And we're probably at a menu here. So again, you usually have to press enter to start it. So I'll do that now. And the drive is whirring away here. It's got the opening screen, I'm sure. And in a minute here, should and hit enter one more time. Yeah, there we go. It should start up here in a minute. Drive.
Due to the graphic nature of this program, viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. I'll hit the space bar again. The space bar is kind of your play and your pause key. Now, if we wanted to navigate this, there are several ways we can do that. Let's go up to the menu bar again with Control F2.
Menu bar, Apple.
Okay, and we'll go ahead and go to the right.
DVD file, edit, features, controls.
Controls, I'll show you what's in there. You can do this from the menu, and most of them have keyboard shortcuts too, which is
controls, good. Menu, play spacebar, stop, command, period, slow motion, scan forward, command, shift. Right arrow, scan backwards, command, shift. Left arrow, scan rate, submenu. Slow motion rate, submenu. Volume up, command, up arrow. Volume down, command, down arrow, mute, command option, down arrow, timer, submenu, new bookmarked ellipsis, new video clip, use current frame as jacket picture, close control drawer, dim command, eject DVD, command, play spacebar.
Okay, so you can see all the options are readily accessible in the menu, and most of them have keyboard shortcuts. The other nifty thing is, if a program is programmed to the Mac OS standards, like this one is, when you press one of those keystrokes, like command period, iTunes doesn't do this for some reason, or I'm not sure why, but with this one, the keys are actually labeled. So when we press like command shift right arrow, it'll say scan forward, or when we press command period, it'll say stop. And with programs that are programmed to Mac, you know, standards, a lot of them, it will tell you what the keystroke actually does, which is kind of a cool feature. Okay, let's arrow to the right.
Features, menu.
Let's go to the right one more time.
Go, menu.
This is what I wanted to show you. Skipping by a chapter by title is really simple also. If we arrow down.
DVD, beginning of disc, or last time played. Default book, title, submenu. Chapter, submenu.
You can do title or chapter. This one has a bunch of chapters, I think, so we'll just press the right arrow key on this.
Chapter. You check mark. Chapter 1. Chapter 2. Chapter 3. Chapter 4. Chapter 5. Chapter 6. Chapter 7. Check mark. Chapter 1.
It says check mark. Chapter 1, so we know that we're on chapter 1 currently on this DVD. So finding out where you're at and navigating around a DVD works very well. You should have no trouble doing that at all. So that's a really good thing. All right, let's go ahead and get out of this menu.
Image.
And we'll go ahead and exit the DVD player. I just wanted to show you that it does work, and it is very accessible. So again, a big thanks to Apple on that one. No doubt about it. Let's go ahead and do Command Q here, and we'll exit out of the DVD player.
Finder. Macintosh HD selected.
And I'll go ahead and press Command E, which is kind of the global. Actually, I have to arrow down to the disk first.
Macintosh Cops selected.
And we'll do Command D to eject that.
Zero items selected.
Yeah, zero items selected because the CD is no longer there. So that's fine. Okay. The other thing I wanted to cover with this, I got a couple of questions about some of the advanced stuff that's turning up on web pages now. And wanting to know how VoiceOver deals with that. The main thing was, there's a couple of things. Dynamic pages. I got an email from somebody wanting to know how it handles that. Before we delve into that, let me explain actually what a dynamic HTML page is. Because it's still, well, it's been around for a little while, but it's becoming more and more popular. Originally with the web, and really only just recently did it really start to take off, but when you selected a link or a button, you know, on a web page, one of two things happened. Either you went to a different spot on that same page, or you loaded a whole new page. But if new content was going to be displayed, you loaded a new page. Your browser loaded a new page. That was just the way it worked. Well, the way it's kind of starting to work now on some of these pages, what you'll actually have is what they call dynamic pages. And what this is, when you click a link maybe, or when you select a radio button, or even, you know, just when you do something on the page, a new page does not load. Instead, what actually happens is part of the content of the page you're on actually changes. And what actually has to happen then is your screen reader needs to know about that so it can, you know, so it can tell you accordingly. This is something actually that VoiceOver does very well, and it's kind of interesting because in a lot of ways, as far as this particular thing, VoiceOver is really ahead of the Windows screen readers. I know, System Access on Windows, it works okay with a lot of these. WindowEyes, I think they're still working on it. I think JAWS does work with these also, but only recently did they add support for that, where and it had to specifically be done, you know, to add support for these dynamic pages. With VoiceOver, it was never an issue. It just worked. Which leads me to another question I did receive asking, does it actually load the page into like a virtual buffer like the Windows screen readers do? My answer to that would be not really. You do navigate the page, you know, in a structured order, just like you do in Windows, but there's no separate step to it. Like in Windows, you know, your browser loads the page, and then with any of them, really, if it's a long page, especially, you know, you're not going to be able to access all the page until it loads into the virtual browse mode or the virtual cursor, whatever the case might be. With VoiceOver, it's not like that. The only thing you're really going to wait for is for your browser to load the page. Once that's done, you can go anywhere on the page, you know, you want to. So when you're navigating, you're using all the same, you know, VoiceOver cursor commands, just like you would to navigate a dialog box or anything like that. So it does navigate, you know, in the structured mode, but there's not really a separate aspect of loading a virtual buffer per se, and there is no command like to reload the virtual buffer or anything like that, because there is none. It just works, and it navigates the page in the right order. So that's a good thing. So I'll go ahead and show you a dynamic page here. Let's go over to the How Stuff Works website, which is that's a really cool site, actually. There's a bunch of articles that describe how stuff works, everything from electronics to health issues. And there's a section on that page that has fun quizzes on it, where you can actually test your knowledge on things. And that's a very dynamic page, because what happens is it gives you the question, and then it gives you three different radio buttons for the choice, and you select the one that, you know, you think is the correct answer. And then a new page doesn't load. What actually happens is the page updates, the same page updates, you know, telling you if you're right or wrong, and then, you know, and with a little comment then as to why that answer's right or wrong. So let's go ahead and open the browser. I'm actually going to use for this, well, it uses the Safari browser, but I'm actually going to use the latest build of WebKit, which is the actual web engine that is used on the Macintosh. I've got the newest beta of that, and they've fixed a couple of access issues, actually, with that compared to the latest actual release of the Safari web browser. So I'm going to go ahead and open that now. Again, let's go back to the dock.
DVD player.
All right, and we press a W.
WebKit,
and press Enter.
Finder, blank. Safari, HTML content.
All right, so we got the Safari browser up here. All right, let's go ahead and press Command L to open the page.
http://nightly.
All right, and let's just type in howstuffworks.com and press Enter.
Oh, dot selection deleted.
Let's see, did I get the period in there? Let's see.
Period.
Yes, I did, okay.
Period, HTML content.
All right, so here
HTML content. HTML content. Safari has new window.
Okay, so the page is loaded. Let's go ahead and do a search here for the word quiz, because that's where we want to get to. I want to get us to the quiz page. So let's do the VoiceOver find command.
Enter search text.
And we'll type in quiz.
Q-U-I-Z.
Press Enter.
Link. Quizzes.
Okay, I don't want to select this yet, though, because I want to show you a little thing before we do. This in itself is actually a dynamic page. So, if we read, we're sitting on the link now for quizzes, but if we were to actually read a couple of more links forward, let's do that here.
Link, image galleries, link, podcasts, link, 10 worst computer viruses of all time, 10 worst computer viruses of all time.
That could be interesting.
Link, 10 worst link, top 10 shark attack stories, top 10 link, top 10 shark attack story, link. NASA's 10 greatest achievements, link, 10 bizarre iPod accessories, 10.
Okay. So you see there it's got, you know, just 10, top 10 of different things. Okay. Let's go back now and select that quiz corner link. And what you're going to see here is that it doesn't actually load a new page. But what it does is it updates these links with actual quiz links is what it's going to do. So let's go back with the voiceover cursor here.
Link, 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 top 10, link, top, link, 10, link, 10 worst, link, pop, link, image, link, quizzes.
There we go. And let's select that.
Press quizzes.
Okay. Now, you'll notice that a new page didn't load because anytime a new page loads, it says, you know, HTML content when the page when you get a new page. So it didn't load a new page, but let's navigate, to the next items here now with the voiceover cursor and notice the difference.
Link, image galleries, link, podcasts, link, space shuttle quiz, space shuttle quiz, link, space shuttle quiz, link, camshaft quiz, link, camshaft quiz, link, hippopotamus quiz, link, hippopotamus quiz, link, quiz corner quiz, link, quiz corner, link.
All right, so we got a couple corner of quizzes there on the page. Let's actually go to quiz corner. That's the one where we can actually see all the quizzes that are available. And I think I'm sitting on that now. Let me just double check that.
Quiz corner, quiz corner, link is in the voiceover cursor.
I'm not sure why that's reading that twice. Probably because it's got the text of it, and there may also be an alt tag there also for that. But anyway, let's go ahead and select that.
Prep HTML content.
Okay. Now, what quiz should we try? Let's do something computerized. Let's do this. What they've got is several categories of the quizzes here. So they've got a section on computer quizzes. Let's see what they've got there. So to do that, what
interact
I'm going to do...
Interact with HTML link.
Just to interact with that HTML content. Okay. Let's pull up what the VoiceOver calls the item chooser menu. And what this does is it takes everything on the page, you know, all the links, the headings, and stuff like that, and puts them into a list, and then we can type in what we want. In this case, we're just kind of searching for some text. The word computer, actually, and that'll get us to the computer quizzes section. So let's bring up the item chooser.
Building item chooser menu. Item chooser menu, 385 items.
So there's 385 different items on this page. All right, let's start to type in the word computer here.
One, four items, link, computer.
See, and as you type, it narrows it down. So we don't want the link. There's just a bit of text on this page that says computer quizzes. Let's just arrow down now.
Computer.
That's...
Link. Computer. Link. Computer.
Okay, that's the one we want. So then if we press enter there, the voiceover cursor will move directly to that item.
Computer.
There we go. And now, from here, let's just navigate forward through the, with the voiceover cursor, and let's see what computer quizzes we've got here.
Link. BIOS quiz.
The BIOS.
Link. Computer memory quiz. Link. CPU quiz, link, DSL quiz, visited link, email quiz, link, home networking quiz, link, internet quiz.
How about the home networking, or actually, how about the internet quiz, since we're doing this over the internet and everybody's listening to that, let's do that one. So I think I'm sitting on that,
link,
let's see.
Link, internet quiz.
Okay, let's go ahead and select it.
Press, HTML content.
Okay, so here we are. Now, we can skip past all this stuff on the top of the page. I'm kind of familiar with these pages, so it's the second heading down that we need. And there's a little intro to the quiz, and then there's a link to start the quiz. So let's just press the voiceover command to go by heading.
Heading level 5, consumer guide.
Okay, let's press it again.
Heading level 1, quiz corner.
There we go. All right, from here, let's just kind of navigate this.
Internet quiz, image, link, email, link. Share. Link. Internet quiz. Since its popularization during the 1990s, the internet has become a big part of many of our lives. but it's changed a good deal since then. Many people believe we're currently experiencing Web 2.0, a richer, more advanced experience of connecting with other users. If we're in Web 2.0 right now, though, what's Web 1.0? And what's the difference between the Internet and the World Wide Web?
Okay, so let's go to the next item here.
Link. Start quiz.
That's what we want. Let's select it.
Prep. HTML content.
Okay. Now, like I've said, with these are dynamic pages, which means it gives us the question, and then we have the radio buttons to choose for the answer, and then once we do that, it doesn't load a new page. It just puts up some text, you know, afterward, you know, saying if you're correct or not and why the answer is correct or not. So, again, there are a couple of ways we can get to the question. We could just navigate forward by each item, and we'll eventually get to it. But again, let's just go through headings, and we'll zap past all of the intro stuff that we see on each page.
Heading level 5. Heading level 1. 2 items. Quiz corner. Internet quiz.
Okay, let's just read down now with the voiceover cursor.
Question 1 of 10. Who coined the term Web 2.0?
Oh dear, I have no idea. Let's look at our choices.
Tim O'Reilly, radio button. Dale Dougherty, radio button. Steve Jobs, radio button.
I don't think it was Steve Jobs or Tim O'Reilly, so I'm going to say the second one.
Dale Dougherty, radio button.
Okay, so we select that.
Press Dale Dougherty, radio button.
All right, now if we read down, you'll notice now if we read these radio buttons.
Who coined the Tim O'Reilly dim radio button?
They're dimmed now because we've already made the selection. So they're dim, they're grayed out, but let's see what our answer, the correct thing is. So now we'll just read down again. It didn't load a new page, but now the result is here.
Dale Doc Steve image, correct image.
Ah, what do you know, I got it right. I was just a guess, but I didn't think it was Steve Jobs, and I didn't think it was Tim O'Reilly.
Correct. Dale Dougherty, a publisher from O'Reilly Media, founded by Tim O'Reilly, coined the term Web 2.0 in 2004 during a joint conference held with MediaLive International. Although Dougherty was probably just doing his job, he managed to set off a firestorm of debate. No one completely agrees on what Web 2.0 actually means.
Okay. Now, to go to the next question, we can do it. What it is, there's just an image here. Shame on the folks at How Stuff Works for not labeling this image with a tag. But if we go back...
Correct. Image.
It's just that unlabeled image there that we have to select to get to the next question. On the flip side, though, that is one thing that VoiceOver could improve on probably, too, is for unlabeled things like that, have a way... you can with a link. When it's an actual link, you can get the URL for it. But with an image, there's no real way that I know of... Let me just try something here really fast.
Menu.
If I pull up the context menu.
Open image in new window. Open image in new tab. Save image to save image as ellipse. Add image to iPhoto Lock. Use image as desktop picture. Copy image address.
Well, that's one way you could probably find out what it was, but that's really out of the way.
Copy image. Inspect element. Open image in new window.
Okay. I just wanted to see if anything in there would help us. But anyway, so if we select that image...
Steve, image.
That will take us to the next question. We'll go ahead and do one more question here.
Press HTML content.
Now this one, of course, did load a new page to go to the next question. So let's go down by heading, and we'll do one
heading
more question
level five. Heading level 1, 2 items. Question 2 of 10. According to Tim O'Reilly, the Web 2.0 philosophy sacrifices users' security, radio button. Democratizes the web, radio, makes the internet really boring, radio button.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't think it would be compromises the security, maybe. Well, it could be. I'm going to say the second one, democratizes the web.
Democratizes the web,
radio
button.
By the way, before I select it, let me just go past it.
Makes the internet
really
ads by Google.
See, there's ads by Google. There's really nothing there yet about saying whether you're correct or not. I'm going to go with the second one.
Make democratizes the web, radio button.
Select that.
Press democratizes the web radio button.
And now if we read past the radio buttons.
Image. Correct. Image.
Yeah. What do you know? I got it right. That was just a guess.
Correct. In September 2005, about a year after the term Web 2.0 was coined, Tim O'Reilly posted a blog entry in which he gave his thoughts on the subject. On top of using the web as an applications platform and employing new methods for distributing information, Web 2.0 allows for the democratization of the internet.
Okay. So anyway, that kind of gives you a good idea of how the dynamic HTML pages work. And they work very well. If a page changes when you click on something, VoiceOver should be able to handle it really well. The last thing I want to show you, I got another email asking how it deals with the what's known as an on-click. WinOS calls it an on-click. I think JAWS calls it a mouse-over event, and System Access just calls these buttons, actually, and wanting to know if those work with VoiceOver. The answer is kind of. That's another area, too, where hopefully in the future that Apple, well, I don't know if that would take a feature added to VoiceOver to do or to the Safari browser engine to implement. It might take both, I don't know. They work as far as if you know that something is an on-click or a clickable item, which those pretty much function as links, is what they do a lot of times. If you know that something is clickable, you can select it and it will work, yes. The thing is that VoiceOver does not tell you when something is clickable if it's not a link or a button or a checkbox or a radio button. But there are some things you can do to work around it. You'll have to use a little intuition to try to tell whether it is or not, but usually you can. And let's go to a site, and I'll show that to you. Let's go over to wayfinder.com, which is a GPS software program that runs on cell phones, which, by the way, they make a great accessible program called Wayfinder Access. And I've actually thought about doing a couple of podcasts on GPS programs like Mobile Geo on the cell phone and Wayfinder Access on a cell phone. And if any of you are interested in having me do some of those, maybe comparing the two, let me know. I've really considered doing that and recording traveling a route so you can kind of hear how that works. But anyway, that's got a good example of these clickable items that aren't actually links. And I'll show you that. So let's go ahead and I'm going to come back and finish this internet quiz, though, at some point. I do want to do that and take the rest of that. Those quizzes are fun on How Stuff Works. How Stuff Works is a great site. But they just need to label that image for the next question. Okay, let's do Command-L again.
http://.
And we'll type in wayfinder.com.
Select
and press Enter.
HTML content.
Okay. Where we want to get to here, it's the support page that I want to show you this, because there's a list of frequently asked questions that are just clickable items, but they're not links. So let's do that. I believe
Interact country state USA.
Do a search here for the word support, and I'll get to the link.
Enter search text SUPPORT visited link support.
There we go. And select that.
Press support HTML content.
Okay, now the one I need to get to is, I believe, the support link for Wayfinder Navigator is the one I need to get to.
Interact with
HTML. They make Wayfinder Access for blind people, but they also make a regular product called Wayfinder Navigator, and it's a great product, really. It really is a great thing. We can't really use the Navigator one because it's more visual, but the Wayfinder Access product is excellent. Okay, let's
link.
See here.
Link, about us, link, contact.
I'm just navigating with the VoiceOver cursor here. You can also tab and shift tab through the links and buttons, although for these other items where, you know, they're not actual links that are just like these on-clicks, you do have to use the VoiceOver cursor to reach those. Just like it is on the web, actually, in Windows, you can't tab to those. Well, you can tab to them in the virtual buffer, but if you're just using Internet Explorer or Firefox, you can't really tab to them.
Link. Link. Home.
Navigating through links here.
Link. Support. Visited link. Link. FAQ. Null. Image. Visited. Image. Visited link. WAYFINDER Navigator.
Okay, this is it. This will work. These are visited because I actually had to try to find a site that had these. And I did find one here. So let's select this link.
Press WAYFINDER HTML content.
It spells it because it's probably in all caps. Okay, now let's see. Can we navigate this by heading? Are there headings on this page? Let's see.
Heading level 1.
Yes.
Wayfinder Navigator. What is Wayfinder Navigator?
Great. This is exactly what I wanted to show you. Okay. These questions that you'll see here, these are actually clickable items, but VoiceOver doesn't tell you that. The way you can tell is if, well, in this case, it's questions. And as you read down, you'll notice there's the questions, but there's no answers, which kind of gives you the clue, you know, okay, these are probably clickable. On some other sites, you'll see, if you see things on each line where it doesn't have, like, a link, but, like, for each item, if it says, like, support, and then you go to the next one and it just says, like, products or about us, but that's the only thing, you know, for that item, even if it doesn't say it's link, that's a good clue that those are actually the on-click or the mouse-over things. And if that's the case and you think that it is, then, yeah, go ahead and just select it. And if it is, in fact, a clickable item, it will work and do the appropriate thing. And if it isn't, then nothing happens and no damage done. So they do work as far as being able to activate them, but it's just that VoiceOver doesn't tell you that they're clickable. And I'll show you that here. All these questions are clickable, and it's another dynamic page. When you click one of these or select one, the answer appears, basically, after the question, and VoiceOver will recognize that. So let's look at these questions here.
Which variant of Wayfinder Navigator should I select? How does it work? What do I need to use Wayfinder Navigator?
Okay. So that kind of gives you an idea that they are clickable, because it's like, okay, the questions are there, but there's no answer. So let's go back to that one that says, how does it work?
How does it work?
And let's just go ahead and select that.
Press, how does it work?
And now, if we read the next item, rather than another question, we should get the answer. Let's see.
Wayfinder Navigator gets real-time information about your exact location from an internal GPS of the mobile phone or from an external Bluetooth GPS receiver. A Bluetooth GPS receiver pinpoints your position, longitude, and latitude and transmits this information via Bluetooth to your mobile phone. By entering your destination, street address, city, category, into the program, you can calculate a route. Depending on your choice of Wayfinder Navigator, the routes and maps are calculated either online or locally on the device.
Okay, so there we go. So there's the answer.
Online. Through the mobile network, GPRS Internet, or 3G, you connect to the Internet in order to send the GPS information, as well as your destination, to the Wayfinder server. The optimal itinerary is calculated, and the server sends this information back to your mobile phone.
Okay, so there we go. I won't bother reading the rest of the answer, but you get the idea. So, for the on-clicks or the mouse-over things, they work, but you'll have to use a little bit of intuition to figure out if something is clickable or not. And again, if you think it is, go ahead and select it. And if it is, it will do whatever it's going to do. And if it isn't, then no damage done. Nothing happens. You know, that's bad or anything. It's just nothing happens if it's not a clickable item. So that pretty much covers what I wanted to in this podcast. Certainly, if anyone has any additional questions, things you want me to cover, that type of thing, certainly drop me an email. Love to hear from you. And I hope everybody's enjoyed this. I've certainly enjoyed doing it. This is a podcast I've actually been wanting to do for ever since really iTunes 8 came out and just finally, you know, found some time to do it. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is n0oxy. It's my ham radio call, n0oxy at charter, charter, .net. So everyone take care, and we'll hopefully talk to everyone again soon.